when you were talking a little bit earlier, I was reminded how when my daughter was in sixth grade, she had biology class and she came home and that teacher was explaining biology and what that looked like, maybe in more detail than I thought the public school system was going to, but that's okay. But my daughter raised her hand and she said, not all babies are created that way. Really, all it takes is three things, an egg and a sperm and a uterus. And that comes in different ways and different forms for people. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm about to get a call from that teacher.
This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
It's Doretner Hessen, and we're back at the Modern Parenthood Podcast. And today, I'm delighted to have Katie N. Kalade today with me. She is the president and CEO of Donor and Surrogate Solutions, and she's here to share not just what she does professionally, but how her personal experience has shaped her professional life. So, Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us how fostering shaped your views on parenthood.
I think it's the nurturing piece of parenthood and how that really does define what it looks like for somebody. So, you know, when you're fostering, you typically don't have a lot of backstory as to what a child has experienced. Oftentimes those kids don't even know exactly what they've experienced and gone through and why they're where they are. And so you kind of start with a clean slate, and that slate is just open arms to love and support. And so I think that that's what we've learned through parenting this process, is it's about that individual child, what they need, how to build that long-term trust and nurturing connection with a kiddo, regardless of the biology piece of it.
And how was it with your biological children in the house and in having a foster child? First, you had younger ones, and then you had, I think, a teenager, you said, later on. How did that interaction shape your biological children's lives?
So when we had the little boys, they were a little bit younger. And so I think our life was just chaotic. But they ultimately learned, like, this is our calling, is to be in spaces where we can help and give. And that's how they viewed surrogacy too. I mean, I always say, like, surrogacy was the best thing our family ever did. It wasn't particularly about me. Yes, I was caring, but it was a family decision to choose surrogacy. And it was a family decision to foster. And, they learned about unconditional love. They learned a whole lot about patience. They learned about empathy and grace through that process, because you had kiddos that weren't raised in the same spaces as they were, and the expectations and what that looked like. When our little boys left, they left pretty abruptly. That's can be how the foster care system works. And they just left quicker than we anticipated that they would, because they were going back to a family placement. And I mean, bawled, tears. I mean, everybody is so upset that they left, and our kids with tears. When are we going to do this again? And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I can do this again right now. But their little big hearts to do it was really, really cool to see. And then when we had a teenager, that meant I had four teenagers, not three teenagers. So our foster son and our biological son were just just 6 months apart. Although he doesn't live with us anymore. He does live in McKinney. I mean, his birthday was 2 weeks ago. We still got to take him out for dinner, and he comes over for the holidays, and he calls and talks about school, and he's graduating this year, and we're talking through his next steps. And so we are blessed that we still get to have that communication with him. But same thing, our kids still learn the same thing as grace in this process, to have empathy for people's stories and how they look different than maybe your story looks. And that ultimately, like, we're called to love others unconditionally without those boundaries. And opening up our home was just one way that we could do it through foster care.
That's amazing. And I love how your children, they have enjoyed having foster kids in their home and how that experience will shape the lives of your biological children as they grew up to be adults in terms of learning to love and having grace and empathy and seeing other people in their journeys as well, and how many times our journeys cross and how big of an influence we can have on each other's lives. And that's so important.
Yeah. I think for my kids, they've learned that it's not, there's not a stagnant one way to do anything. And that, theme is probably in work. I'm a little unconventional being a female small business owner. Not that there's not tons of women that do that, but it's not what you see stereotypically. And then you can say foster care and surrogacy. And then the biological, when you were talking a little bit earlier, I was reminded how when my daughter was in sixth grade, she had biology class and she came home and that teacher was explaining biology and what that looked like, maybe in more detail than I thought the public school system was going to, but that's okay. But my daughter raised her hand and she said, not all babies are created that way. Really, all it takes is three things, an egg and a sperm and a uterus. And that comes in different ways and different forms for people. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm about to get a call from that teacher, but I also told her, I was like, good job for normalizing what infertility can be, what family building can be, because I'm sure you see it as well. Like, if we were normalizing the 1 in 6 early on in this process, when women get to the stage that they need even IVF, but most certainly egg donation or surrogacy, it wouldn't feel the way it feels, I don't think. I think if there was education behind it. So I was like, good for you for bringing that awareness. And I tell my girls all the time, if you're not on the path to parenthood and thinking about kiddos by like 25, I'm more than happy to help you freeze your eggs. Mommy and daddy will take care of that expense. Merry Christmas. And you don't have to be in a hurry, but you know, that would probably be that next step.
Yeah, it's and kudos to your little girl in sixth grade for raising her hand and saying, hey, well, babies, you just really need three things. And I will tell you as a physician, that's how I see it. I'm like, I just need to know where I'm getting the eggs, the sperm, and how we're going to carry the pregnancy. And really, that's what matters. And yeah. You're absolutely right. Something you said is really important, and it's education. And that was one of the big reasons as well for starting this podcast, is to educate listeners and to normalize that infertility is real in our society. 1 in 6 people struggle. And the more we educate and normalize, the less fear people will have about doing fertility treatments. Because sometimes they get to a stage and they do testing. They're like, okay, we can't get pregnant naturally. And then they stop. And they don't know that there's so many other people out there that are doing fertility treatments and have been successful. Yes, it may seem scary at first, but we have millions of babies now born in the world from IVF today. And it's okay to do so. So many other people went through it and they've been okay. And then they may fail, get to another stage and fail multiple cycles of IVF with their own eggs. And we have to have a bigger discussion about donor eggs. Or they may fail multiple embryo transfers with recurrent pregnancy loss. And we're having a bigger discussion about surrogacy. And it's overwhelming. And the goal of this podcast is to tell people, hey, it's okay. Other people have done it. I've done it. You've done it. It's okay to need third-party reproduction. And it's great as well to adopt. We've had people come on our show who talk about private adoption, foster to adopt, you fostering, and the influence you can have on a child's life to shape the person they grew up to be is what matters. That commitment to a child is what matters.
Yeah, it most certainly is. If we were just educating, even in the infertility spaces, you know, hearing about egg donation, when you need an egg donor, I think can feel very alarming. And if more people understood, like, hey, we're going to start this, and then if this doesn't work, this is another option, and this is another option, and this is another option, I think even families could process through that from infertility perspective. But also, we host, and we're going to be at a conference this fall for an LGBTQ conference, and it just for the format of it, there's a lot of parents there, and it's younger LGBTQ folks. And I said, you know, we're not going to gain clients from this conference, but we are going to do is educate. And the 22, 23 year old that realizes that they are going to need some other components of this process because of the three things that we talked about, you need to have a baby. If they're learning about that early on and learning that there is a way to get this, and this is kind of what it looks like, and oh my goodness, this is how much it's going to cost to go through that process. If we're educating at 22, 23, 24, 25, then when they're 32, 33, 34, 35, it looks easier, and it's simpler to move forward in the process. So that education piece on what could be down the road, I think is so important and can help families psychologically and emotionally when they are faced with the decision, is, am I going to end up building my family in a way that I didn't originally envision for myself?
So Katie, I want to talk to you, especially me coming from an Asian culture. Culture and religion plays a massive role in fertility. And it's not just, hey, we chose to do IVF, or hey, we chose to do third-party reproduction, donor egg, donor sperm, surrogacy. Or, hey, we tried and we couldn't get pregnant, now we're adopting or we're fostering. What in many cultures and certain religions, the expectation from your family and from your friends that you're supposed to follow this one specific path or this one specific track, and going outside of that track or that path is not consistent with that culture and that religion. And how have you come across scenarios where educating your family and friends, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and it's for this reason, and how do we gain their trust and support? Because you want to keep them as family and friends, you want them to be part of this process. And how do we get our family and friends to know, we want your support, we want you to be there, but this is the path we've chosen?
Yeah, I can think of a few things. The first is just that education, like we talked about before, what, you know, we've had people say like, oh, so the husband has sex with the surrogate. And it's like, oh my gosh, no, that's not how this process comes about. So sometimes it is like absolutely the basics. You know, I helped co-write a devotional for women that are either considering surrogacy or needing a surrogate, if it's from a Christian perspective and people want to understand what that looks like. It's called Called to Carry. You can go on our website, get it, and request it for free. But a part of that came from my own conversations with family. And I did have a family member that was like, well, if they can't get pregnant, then God must not want them to have a baby. And I was like, no, that is not true. Like, that is flawed theology, first of all. And no, that's just a path. They have things going on in their world that they have been unable to successfully carry a pregnancy. And my job is to help and step in and give in a way that they need in order to complete their family. So you have, there can be some religious undertones, not just in Christianity, but in others as well, as to why this is the case. I just personally don't feel that that is the reason why, and that devotional often can help people. But also, I think it's this idea of possession and what is mine. And so I had one of my mom's friends came to me very concerned, and I gave her this scenario, and I said, all right, so if I'm at my house and I want to bake cookies, and I put the ingredients together, and I have the chocolate chips and the flour and all of that, and I make it, and I'm enjoying all of that, And then I look up and I turn my oven on and it doesn't work. And I call you and I'm like, hey, do you mind if I come over and bake my cookies? And you're like, yeah, sure. That's totally fine. Happy to let you use my oven. And you put those cookies in there and then they get done and we pull them out. I said, whose cookies are they? And she goes, well, they're your cookies. And I'm like, uh-huh, that's right. And those babies are those people's babies because they have created them or planned for them, even if they're using donor egg. Like, and then they're going to take those babies home and they are nurturing them, loving them, and raising them. And that is why that baby born via surrogacy is that family's baby and not that GC's baby. And my other daughter has used that as an example to a friend as well. And sometimes it just takes, and that's just our world that says that. Like we hit that with foster care and that's the case for adoption as well. And so sometimes it's just encouraging people to look outside of what they've, you know, always known to be true and challenging those thought processes and feelings.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, for normalizing and educating our listeners about infertility, about third-party reproduction, donor egg, donor sperm, surrogacy, and adoption, fostering. We really want to keep sharing these stories so that other people know they can be successful at parenthood. And regardless of that path or that track that they take to parenthood, it's that love and commitment and showing up for that child is really what makes you a parent. So thank you so much for being a guest on our show.
Well, thank you for your work. I love the title of this podcast, Modern Parenthood. And so thank you for your work to normalize and talk about what parenthood looks like. It's a really special thing that you're doing. So I'm grateful that you're in this space and sharing in this way.
Thank you. If you enjoyed Katie's story and want to hear more stories about fertility and parenthood, please like, follow, and subscribe so you do not miss an episode. See you next time.
Pioneer.